This morning, we want to talk about a passage that comes from 1 John chapter 1, starting at verse 5. And I know some of you will have read ahead and you probably have a good insight into what's all this is about. Sometimes when you preach and you're standing up here, you sometimes feel it would be good if this was sort of set up like one of those MMA ultimate fighting cages, you know, sort of, I'm in the cage protected from you, because sometimes the things you say might rile you a bit and you can't get at me and you can't throw things because I'd be protected. It might be, you might start to think some of those things this morning as I go through talking about sin and how it's such a prevalent part of our lives, and you might not like to hear what we have to say. So just because I don't have a cage, please refrain from throwing things. I'm going to talk about, in a general sense, about what sin is all about, and you're going to have to make your own personal application, because I'm not going to talk about and point at you and say these are the specifics of your life, because I don't know them, first of all, and second of all, it's not my place to do that. You're wrestling with what God and His Spirit will say to you. You need to determine which sin in your life applies most urgently to the text today, and you need to understand that that's that you need to deal with it. And I'm going to talk about those sins probably that you don't want to talk about. Those sins maybe that you don't want to deal with in your life, that you don't want to confess, that you don't want found out, that you don't want anybody else to meddle in. You know those things in your life? Maybe you've got a parade of a couple things or many things marching through your mind. And somehow, maybe some of those sins have kept you from relationships with other people. Relationships of honesty, relationships in which you could grow as a person. But because you have those things in your life, they have hampered your relationships with others. And you only know those. You are the one that has to deal with them specifically. That these things in your life, they can be cumbersome, they can be habitual, they can be frustrating, and they're wrong. And the galling thing is that you're not necessarily willing to give them up. Or maybe you're so overwhelmed by them that you're embarrassed by them that you don't even want to admit that they happen in it, or even admit that you've been defeated by them. So these are the things that we're going to talk about today. Boy, aren't you glad you came today? Yes. Thank you for that, yes. I want to talk to you today about how we'd manage and how we can deal with this. And I take that back. I don't want to talk to you about how we manage our sin, because that's one of the worst things that we do. Try and manage it. We got to deal with it. And so John, the dear pastor who had been with Jesus for so many years, is now in his, you know, we have said he's probably in his 90s, and he's sitting down talking to all these people that are gathered around him and writing to them, and he's telling them what they need to do. See how I keep wanting to go to that word manage, and so every time I do that, stop me. He's at the point in his life, he's an old guy, and Jesus has died and risen and gone to heaven, and John is telling these people about what Jesus has declared. Well, the first thing that we need to recognize in this passage as you look through it, first of all, is that you have to make your own application, right? And so you need to do that, and you're gonna wrestle with this, and John is saying that these teachings that he is offering to us today really didn't make it into the Gospels. If you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're not going to find these kinds of things listed there. as they're described here. And John is saying that these are the things that when he was sitting with Jesus, these are the things he heard. You remember at the end of the book of John, it says there were many more things written that if they were all, or said that if they were all to be written, we would have one big library of stuff that we need to read and follow. Well, that's what's happened here. And John is going to tell us some of these things. He was one of the guys who was closest to Jesus. He was part of the inner three. He was close to Jesus. And so here these are some of the things that he taught, that Jesus had taught to these people and had spoken. The first thing that he says, and we need to understand right at the foundation, right at the beginning, we need to understand that he teaches us about God, and he tells us about God, and he says what about God? God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Okay, keep that fixed in your mind because that's really important. He's telling us that there's going to be a transition in our life. There needs to be of our ethics, of our morals, of our conduct, of our motivation, of our thoughts, our actions, our deeds, and our misdeeds. And he sets the framework up for that by saying that God is light. He's not going to give us sort of tips and tricks how to overcome, you know, little foibles that we have, sin that we have in our life. John isn't about giving you, you know, three easy lessons to manage your sin. Afraid not. If you're looking for that, this is the wrong place to come. What we first need to be clear about, though, is our understanding of God. And then we work from that point. We have to anchor ourselves in the fact that God is light. And it's really quite a great little metaphor. He's not saying that God is good and bad, light and dark. He's not saying, like in our culture today, there are lots of people who will talk to you about God who is yin and yang and good and bad and light and dark. And don't even begin to confuse that with the Christian faith, because it's not. John says that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. There's no darkness. The darkness on earth comes from the darkness of my heart, from the darkness of your heart, the darkness of the heart of other people. It comes from Satan's heart. God is light, and in him there's no darkness. God is truthful. He's not a liar. God is holy. He's not unholy. God is faithful. He's not faithless. God is trustworthy. God is not untrustworthy. God is dependable and reliable and gracious and loving and kind. God is not evil. He is nothing like us. Because you know what? We wrestle with those things. That's why when the Bible keeps giving sort of the primary attributes of God, the one that's most listed most often is God is holy. We are not holy on our own, folks. That means he's different. He's different than we are. We are light and darkness, but God is not. He is light. We have good days and we have bad days. We have good deeds and we have bad deeds. But God does not. He is holy. You sort of get the thrust of the emphasis that he's talking about in this passage, that we wrestle with sin. And that's absolutely true. John is telling us that we wrestle with sin because we have that dark side to us. God doesn't. The Bible's very clear that there's only one person that we ought to aspire to imitate, and that is the Lord Jesus, because he is light. He is light. And he told us that he is the light of the world. He is the light of the world, and that in him there is no darkness at all. So we start off, and John makes it clear that God is different than us, and He is light. And we need to, if we're going to analyze ourselves in terms of anybody or anything, we need to look at ourselves in terms of the light. We need to take our life and bring it out into the light. So we ask ourselves the tough question. Are there parts of your life that you want to keep in the darkness? Are you willing to bring any part of your life and bring it into the light? Because that's where we're called to bring it. John tells us that we have a bit of a challenge, though. We have a bit of a problem. And one of our problems is we try to manage our sin. And we try to manage who we are. And so we start doing the if statements. If we claim we can be a Christian who sins. And we're going to look at each of these. If we claim that we're a Christian that doesn't have a problem with sin anymore. Oh, I've been saved. I don't have a problem anymore. If we claim to be a Christian that has never had a problem with sin. And it seems like John is trying to deal with these because he's dealt with this stuff for about 60 years as a pastor to people. And he's saying, you know what? These are issues. John saying, these are issues that people in my life, in my world, they wrestle with. And he's saying, I would probably hazard to guess that this is an ongoing issue. So let's look at the first one. And the first one is simply, if we say we have an intimate connection with the Father, but we continue stumbling around in darkness, then we are lying because we do not live according to the truth. Well, sometimes we hear about people who want to live and think they can live simply in habitual sin. There's no, and I need to tell you that there's no such thing. That you can't do that. There's no such thing as a Christian in habitual sin. And it's not here that it's not just a person who occasionally sins or is imperfect, because guess what? We're all there. But it's the person who habitually says, this doesn't make much difference. I can get away with this. This is really not a big deal. I can just keep at this and, you know, it's not doing anything. And they just keep at it. They're in habitual sin. And John is saying, if you claim that you have this fellowship with Jesus, but you live in the darkness, you're kidding yourself. You're fooling yourself. Something that's just simply that ongoing present lifestyle. Then some people say, oh yes, well, you know, I've always been this way. You know, I'm sort of a Christian gossip. I'm an addict of some sort. I'm a thief. You know, I steal. I'm a petty thief. I steal things from work. I've always done that. So what's the big deal? I lie a little bit. And John is simply saying to us, don't be mocked. Don't be a fool. God will not be mocked. You will reap what you sow. A good tree just doesn't simply bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. People may want to profess the name of Christ, but they don't possess the life of Christ. They don't. Sometimes people will say, well, you know what, all Christians are hypocrites, and you've probably heard all of that. And I would simply say, well, yeah, some people who claim to be Christians maybe aren't. Maybe they're not Christians. If that's their life, are they really? Have they really made that kind of commitment? You know, the great challenge is that people will say, oh, well, you're just judging me. And I would say, no, I'm not. I'm asking you to judge yourself. I'm asking you to look at yourself. I'm not looking at anybody's life. Just ask yourself, have I met Jesus? Have I searched my heart and do I know Him? Have I met God? There are a couple things that happen when we meet Jesus and we get to know Him. One, our beliefs change our beliefs change, and the second thing is that our behaviors begin to change as well. And I recognize it's a process, but we need to be able to move on these things. Christianity is not just a belief system, it's a lifestyle. It's a living, a way that God has called us to live. And you know what? Sometimes it means that we have to deal with habitual sin in our lives. Your desires begin to change. Your motivations begin to change. And the reason is that because Jesus gives you a new heart. He wants you to live in a new way. And you start changing. Things that, hey, do you remember, maybe you don't remember this, you didn't probably travel with this kind of crowd, but in high school I remember on Monday mornings the crowds would gather at the school or even in university, and everybody would talk about how debauched they were on the weekend. Just the wildness of the parties and the wildness of what they did. And you know what? When you become a believer, you start to be amazed that you would even boast about those things. I mean, in most people, now when we think about it and we look, we're sort of awestruck that we would have even thought that was acceptable. And you see, that's the kind of change that needs to be happening in people's lives. I would take it for granted that a great majority of us are past that kind of thing. But you know what? There are those things in our lives. Maybe it's not the wild party that we've gone to, but maybe it's the wild attitude that we've had. The attitude towards others that makes a difference. And those are the things that we need to deal with. If you find yourself simply saying, I'm an habitually unrepentant sinner, I mean, that is a great problem. That is a great issue. And there's just simply no such thing as that. You can't live that way. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. I pulled this off when I stood up and it's pulling my ear. Sorry. Well, the second if is this. If we go around bragging that we have no sin, that we're fooling ourselves and are strangers to the truth. So the second person simply says that, you know, I'm a Christian and they claim that they used to sin a lot, but I don't anymore. You know, I've got it together. Right. The truth is, just because you become a Christian doesn't mean that you've stopped sinning. You're still going to wrestle with it. You're still going to wrestle with the real issues of life. John says, if we claim to be without sin, we're kidding ourselves. The Bible says that that Satan is the deceiver. He deceives people. And people who deceive themselves into thinking that they simply live without sin because they're so good now are deceived. Simple case. Sort of like people who would say, well, I really appreciate what Jesus did, but now, you know, I've really matured to the place where I can keep all my stuff together. I've got it all in a line. Well, I would like to meet you if you have, because boy, I want to market and sell what you've got, because I don't know millions of people, but I know that there are millions of people who wrestle with that all the time. We should be able to challenge each other in a church family and a group of believers and ask each other, okay, so is there a sin that you're wrestling with these days that you want to talk about? Now, obviously, you know, you're not going to jump on the elevator the first time you meet the people and say, so what's the sin in your life? Doesn't work. But as we get to know each other and as we love each other and as we care about each other, there is a place for challenging each other about something that's in our lives and to be honest about it. One of the things, One of the great challenges that takes place in people's lives is that they have this self-deception that whatever their sin is, it's not a big deal. Not a big deal, you know. I've got it managed. I can take care of it. It doesn't hurt people. It doesn't hurt anyone else. It's sort of my hidden sin. But you know what? It keeps you from relationships of honesty and integrity with other people. And if you're pretending and being deceived that you don't have to deal with it, you're a fool. And the Satan is making you a fool. We need to be people who simply confess our sin. A lot of people have no idea what confession is. You know, when we pray during Sunday morning and we say we're sorry for things, sometimes it's just sort of a rote thing that we do. And we really don't understand. So what is this confession all about? Confession is simply saying to God, I agree with your assessment of the sin in my life. And it's saying to God and confessing that we agree. If you opened up your Bible and you read through it and you found out all the places where God talked about the people that were liars and cheats and adulterers and gossips and gluttons and sluggards, and I mean, you can read through and find all of these names, and those are the things that we are finding that God talks about. And we need to come to the point of saying, okay, God, this is my sin. This is the reality in my life. I name it the same way you name it, God. I call it what you call it. And some of us need to do that. Some of us think confession is sort of telling God what's going on in our life as if he doesn't know. Oh Lord, I'm sorry that I had those thoughts about that person who wasn't my wife or my husband. And as if God is sitting up there saying, oh, isn't that person your wife or your husband? I didn't know that. And so somehow we think we're pulling one over on God by pretending that we're confessing something that God doesn't know. But it's us agreeing with God. Taking our sin out of the darkness that we think that we're hiding it in our lives and bringing out and naming it in the light and say, God, this is the sin. This is the sin that I struggle with in my life. Help me. Forgive me. I want to name it. And when we name it the same way God names it, we find that we can begin to deal with it. But if we make an excuse, or if we take this sin and we give it a managed name, you know, one of the saddest things in our world today is we downplay all these names. Do you remember when the name when adultery, and just let me pull that out of the sky, when adultery was a thing and everybody knew what it was? You were doing something with someone else's wife, or you were doing something with someone else's husband, or you're doing with somebody whom you hadn't committed yourself to, right? And adultery has sort of a sting sound to it. So we've cleaned it up a bit and we've managed it, and now we call it an affair. Because, I mean, doesn't an affair sound so much nicer? I mean, who wouldn't want to have an affair? I mean, no, I don't. But you know what? We do that. And we try to make it palatable. Because we know it's wrong. And the name that God puts on it, it cuts us, and we know it's wrong. And so what we need to do is we need to be able to take that sin out of the darkness. We need to bring it into the light. We need to allow God's light to shine on it, because God does not shine. God does not simply go wandering into the darkness to bring light there. He is light, and we are called to come into the light and bring our life there so that God can touch it and we can confess. God, I struggle with this. I mean, why pretend that you don't struggle with it? God already knows. God wants to work in your life. You know? The purpose of confession has a simple reason. And the reason that we confess is that there is reconciliation of relationship. In confession, our relationship with God is renewed or even established or made new or made fresh, made right. And when we confess with one another, and I encourage you to be wise in your confession to one another, because the goal is reconciliation of the relationship. And sometimes at the wrong time, an inadvertent confession in a relationship can just, you know, it's like dynamite. So you have to be wise. Start with your reconciliation and your relationship with God, and then go from there. Ultimately, one of the great challenges is that we think about this and we think, oh, wow, you know, I mean, I've done so many things wrong. I think about my life. How can what Jesus has done bring forgiveness in my whole life? I mean, do you know what I did in university? Can Jesus forgive that? Do you know what I did when I was working one time? Can Jesus really forgive that? The fact is, yes, he can. And the fact is, you're not called to work from the sadness and the difficulty of your sin. You're called on now to work in the wholeness of the new life that Christ has given to you. So it's not a case of working from the depths. It's a case of working from what Jesus has done in your life. And Jesus has done things to make your life new. To make your life new. The last claim that we often have: if we say we have not sinned, then we depict God as a liar and show that we have not let his word find its way into our heart. It's always a challenge when you find people who simply think that they're such moral, upstanding, right people that they really haven't sinned. That they really can manage their life. I'm a good person. I'm a moral person. I've got self-control. I've got self-discipline. I'm glad that Jesus is around for all those other people that need a crutch. You know? And I look at those folks and I think, wow. Very often, one of the things that happens in our life is we will, if you ask people, are you perfect? They will say, well, no, I'm not perfect. Are you a sinner? No. I'm not perfect, but I'm not a sinner. You know? I mean, and we get this funny idea that we can make that differentiation. I mean, the fact is that we are all there. We've all fallen short of God's glory. We all have sinned. And probably, this is such a big thing. People will simply say, well, I may be imperfect, but I'm not a sinner. The denial of sin is acting as if we've never sinned at all. We don't need what God offers. We don't need what Jesus offers. We pretend that we're on our way, that everything is fine. We need to look into God's word and you know, we be compelled to recognize that there is sin in our life, even as God recognizes it. Sometimes we just skip over our sin and we skip over our life. John is writing this short chapter with this simple purpose. You are my little children. Just hear the words of John, the 90-year-old pastor who loves his church, who loves the people that he's dealing with. And he says, you are my little children. So I'm writing these things to help you avoid sin. He knows what destroys people's lives. He knows what people need. And he's directing them to the one who can provide that hope. He can provide that hope. Well, it doesn't matter if you were sitting around with John 2,000 years ago, or you're here today, or maybe in another 2,000 years, I don't know. It doesn't matter what your background is just simply doesn't matter. Jesus will forgive sin. Anywhere in the world, by any person in the world, and anything that you've done, which you're willing to confess, to name as God names. This is simply the thrust of what John is saying here. That's what he wants us to know. You are confronted with sin. That's a reality, but God is good. You examine your life in light of God. You bring the totality of your life, and sometimes that's even scary to think about doing. So you bring parts of your life at a time if you have to, but you examine your life in the light of God. You bring your whole life there, and you're exposed and you're examined. We can continue to sin if we claim that we have no sin. We can continue to claim, I used to sin, but I'm fine now. I don't really need Jesus. Or we can simply say in the third thing, as we looked at, I don't really have any sin in my life. There's nothing to be confessed. I really don't feel convicted or guilty. I want to tell you, if you find yourself in those categories, you're deceived today. You're deceived. Somebody's lied to you. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus will forgive you. If you go to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I confess, here's my sin. I've paid, and Jesus simply says, I've paid the penalty for your sin. I love you. I forgive you. I embrace you. You're mine. Walk in the light as I am in the light. Have fellowship with me and with the rest of the church. That's how it happens. That's what goes on. Jesus has forgiven us. My prayer today for each of us is that we would be people who would stop and think about our lives. And if we need to repent, which I'm sure we all do, because we all have ongoing sin, we need to repent. We need to ask God to forgive us. It may be the case that you haven't just confessed before God for a long time. You've been coasting. Christian life has been really a happy gay affair. And away you go. But there are things in your life that you need to bring out and walk, and hold in the light. And you don't have to make a big scene with other people. But with before God you do. You have to hold it out and let God, and name it, and let God said, I forgive you. I forgive you. And so let's pray. Lord Jesus, in each of our lives there are those spots, maybe those closets, or maybe those unobserved things that have just become so habitual and so part of our lives, we don't recognize the nastiness of them. And so, Father, we want to bring those things. We want to open our lives to the light that you shine. Father, help us to name those things in our lives that are destroying us, that are keep destroying relationships, that are sin that is just a dark spot. And Father, help us to be able to name them and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Lord Jesus, give me new life. Thank you, Father, that you forgive us, that you give us hope, and you send us forward in peace. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.